Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'll give you your soundbite in a moment, but first, a hug can boost your health, even if you're hugging a robot. That's according to Dutch and German researchers who found that physical touch from both humans and animals reduces pain, feelings of depression and anxiety in both adults and children. They reanalyzed data from 200 and for the first time they considered the influence of other variables such as the types of contact or who applies the contact. Jackie Maguire is a clinical psychologist and a big fan of hugging, and she joins me now. Hi, Jackie.
Kia ora, Jesse. How are you? That's an introduction.
Was this a surprise to you?
Oh, the benefits of human touch on our physical and mental health has been something I have spoken about with many of your peers for years to come. But I think what was really interesting about this research was that real look at, does it matter if you're being touched or hugged by a human or can a robot or a weighted blanket do the same job? And I think, you know, really having a meta-analysis looking at many variables has been really interesting.
First of all, it's intuitive, isn't it? But why does hugging improve some of your mental and emotional symptoms?
Well, touch is our first sense that really develops in newborns. And about 3 minutes before we jumped onto this call, I had a 4.5-month-old baby, our newest addition to our family, on my chest
before
I jumped on the phone to you. Thank you, baby three. But it's interesting that ability to interact with the world around you, touch is really important. And you may have heard of oxytocin before, Jesse, which we, in a lax way, describe as your hug drug. Oxytocin is your bonding hormone. And when you have that sense of touch, of pressure on your body, that hormone is released. And oxytocin does a wonderful job of basically saying to your brain, hey, Jesse, you're safe. You don't need to have fight or flight on. You're safe. You can relax. And things like your cortisol hormone decreasing in your body occurs when oxytocin, is released. So there's a real chemical component to why hugging and touch is important to our physical and mental health.
Before we get onto robots, does hugging a dog help?
Yes. So again, hugging a dog or even watching images or videos of animals, I think that's why probably the old cat video is so popular on YouTube online, releases oxytocin. So again, the study is showing that human-to-human contact is the most powerful for mental health. They were able to differentiate physical and mental health. So there was no difference for adults between a robot, a weighted blanket, a dog, a human providing that touch. But for mental health, it was really important that it was human to human contact to get the kind of the most out of the benefits of touch and hugging.
So robot hug good, human hug better.
Yeah, robot hug good for sleep, for blood pressure dropping, for the decreased sense of pain. Human touch, really important for decreasing depression, for decreasing trait anxiety. And that's really important because trait anxiety is the long-lasting anxiety. It's different from in-the-moment state anxiety. And they found a benefit to trait anxiety. You want to improve your mental health, which I think is something really important for New Zealand, then that human-to-human touch is important. But it doesn't just have to be hugging, Jesse. This research also is clear that those benefits could come from massage. And so I think, that's another avenue. If you don't feel like having 20 minutes of hugging with a human, if you've got young people in your house or a partner, that might be easier to achieve perhaps than somebody that lives alone or someone that doesn't have really close people around them. Then maybe you pop into the mall and you get a 20-minute head massage, and that actually has the same benefit.
Are some people just not huggers?
Oh, I think your personality, the family you grew up with, you know, how common touch was in your life experience means that we all have a different level of comfort, I think. And you probably don't need to be a psychologist or a doctor to know that some people lean into a hug and some people become frozen like a board when they hug. And so when you look at, you know, is it the, you know, duration of touch? Is it how frequent the touch is? I think you have to take personal personality and likeness into that. And when you look at when's that oxytocin released, you can't really put a time on it, Jessie. The research is it's when you feel like you have relaxed or when your body feels like it has been able to decompress. And so, you know, for some people, I think that's easier to achieve than others. And even with massage, Jessie, you know, I've got a vivid memory of going to get you know, my toes painted with my mum. We went to get a pedicure, you know, and I don't mind the technician massaging my feet as she paints my nails. My mother hated it, you know. So I think we do all have different levels of comfort, and it's finding ways that work for you.
Yeah, I think it's innate. So I've got four children. Two of them really enjoy massage, and the other two hate it. I think that's from that's from birth.
But maybe they like hugging the dog. Or maybe that, you know, and so it's not saying that that hugging or touch is non-effective when it's not provided by a human. It still is. It's just more effective when it's human. So, you know, perhaps those non-huggers in your family, I've got one of those out of my three children, but she'll cuddle up to her bunnies at night, and so it's still not saying that's not worth pursuing. So it's, if you can have touch, I think it's worth going for the touch rather than the hug. If you can have frequent touch with something that is able to calm you, release that oxytocin, then that will have benefit. And geez, I think the other interesting thing in this study too, for those that perhaps are experiencing loneliness, and we know that we are in a loneliness epidemic. Loneliness is on the rise globally. We felt that acutely during COVID for people, that actually even healthcare workers are able to provide that benefit for individuals. If you're in a consult or you're being supported by a healthcare worker and, you know, they've got an arm on your shoulder or they're providing a hug, you know, that provides benefit too. So finding ways to interact, it doesn't have to be family, it doesn't have to be a familiar friend. Actually, it's just human, and the wonder of that is it skin to skin contact.
Do we teach that to health workers? Do health workers get that in their training? Because that seems like quite key, a really easy and nice way to provide comfort and many other benefits is to put your arm around a patient.
Yeah, well, it's funny, isn't it? As a psychologist, we're trained the opposite to have full boundaries and to not touch. And I've had supervisors and colleagues, you know, in the past that have said, you know, if you've got someone that is very distressed and it's appropriate sitting next to somebody on a couch as they're in distress may cause great comfort in that moment. I think if you're talking about nurses and doctors and, you know, aid workers, then absolutely I think it's important that they know the benefit of that, providing that the patient, the person on the other side is comfortable and that, of course, the touch is appropriate.
Can I ask a maybe more confronting question, which is if you're an adult and you are not a hugger and you're in a relationship, committed relationship, is it worth learning to be a hugger? Is it worth addressing some of the things that might be going on in your head that stop you from being an affectionate person? Are you missing out on all that life and comfort has to offer by not being a hugger?
My immediate gut response to that, Jesse, is we all show love and receive love in different ways. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm sure you have in your time heard of the five love languages. And this, of course, is different to the current study that's come out of Germany. But from my other work, we know that people show and receive love either by touch, or they might be a words person. So they show, you know, they tell people how much they care about them, or they feel loved when people tell them by providing gifts. So there are those that are gift givers and like to receive gifts. Time people, so I feel most loved actually when I just get to hang out and spend time with you. And the last category in that five love languages is service or acts of service. So I do things for you and I feel loved and cared for when you do things for me. And so actually in terms of relationship satisfaction and happiness, I don't think it's about morphing yourself into somebody else. I think it's actually just about communicating and learning with your partner about, you know, what category do you feel fits with you best? How do you show your care and love, and how do you feel loved? And if we can have understanding about that with each other, then, you know, if I'm a words person, for example, and my husband is an acts of service person, here's my real life example for you, Jessie, then actually my husband is showing me he loves me because he has made me a cup of tea every single night for the past 10 years. I have never made one. That's his way of saying, I think about you and I love you. You know, every time he walks in the door, I say, Pat, lovey, how's your day? You know, and that's my love language. And so it's being able to recognize that, but also being able to adapt for your partner at times. So actually, it's really important that I make that chicken pie for dinner, because that will show my husband that I care and, you know, and love him. He'll read that or pick that up perhaps easier than my words, because it's his love language.
Will robots play a part in addressing the loneliness epidemic?
I think we're seeing an expanding use of robots. This research, you see, I will let's come back to the research rather than my opinion. This research is saying that it has benefit. It has benefit from a physical health perspective and some benefit to mental health. So I think we have to assume that at some point it will.
Thanks for your time today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jessie.
Jackie Maguire taking us through some of this new research that shows even a hug from a robot can have benefits for human beings.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.